LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everybody. Let's build the energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week we welcome our special guest, the outstanding JD of VoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, joining us in a discussion on our favorite spells. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, JD. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everyone to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. Here it is, Monday yet again, and as usual, it is Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychic's Facebook page. Make sure you take the time, jump on over to their Facebook page, locate the Magic Mondays post, drop a comment on for your chance to win a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. You can find myself, Reverend James, and our good friend JD there, as well as Miss Kat and a entire array of other wonderful readers. So don't miss out every Monday on the Hoodoo Psychic's Facebook page. All right. So here we are. It's the day before Halloween and have a fantastic lineup, fun little goodies. Maybe some tricks, definitely some treats for everybody that's joining us tonight. But first, before we jump into everything, let's bounce it back over to Reverend James. Reverend James, how are things going with you?
Things are going well. Haven't really done much today because I got to spend the day with my mom. She lives a few towns over, so I don't really get to spend a whole lot of time with her. But segueing a little bit into what today's talk is about, she wanted to contact some of our ancestors, and she wanted me to help her make a herbal mixture for incense or for dressing candles. And it was a mixture of sandalwood, mugwort, camphor, star anise, coriander, tobacco, and I believe that was, no, althea. There we go. That was all of it. So it actually smelled really good. It has a whole basement, wonderful fragrance. Beyond that, I've been kind of doing a little bit of woodworking, playing around with some of the things that we have around the house, and I've been trying to try my hand at making rommel, so geomancy kind of dice that are on a stick. And it turned out pretty well so far, so who knows, maybe those will be available soon.
Very cool, very cool. You know, it's been an interesting sort of last few days, you know, gearing up for the end of the year and all of the fun and festivities that come with that. But, you know, and another thing, Reverend James and I, you know, we took some time this weekend and really dug in, started making some candles. We have a whole array of new figural candles that we've been prepping and getting ready to put out on our Facebook page, as well as our sites, Folk Faith Ministries and folkconjure.com. Really excited about that, because up until this weekend, I really wasn't that great at making these candles. However, I think I've kind of got the knack about it. And I didn't burn anything down. So I guess, you know, go me. But in any case, enough about us. We are joined by our good friend and so regular at this point, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan. How are things going with you, JD? Literally the busiest person I've ever met in my life.
Hey, Reverend James, Reverend Arts. Good to be with you guys again. Thank you. Yes, very busy week already, and it's only Monday.
You know, I'm surprised that you've been able to eke out some time. Like, literally, like, I cringe when I think of your schedule.
Yeah, I have a lot of calendars and planners. Organization is key. Because nothing's worse than when you realize you forgot something and you look at the clock and you're like, oh, is that today? So...
So what's good up in Detroit? What's new with Hoodoo House? What's been going on?
Well, just taking some new clients for root work, particularly because it's kind of interesting. Our topic today is some of our favorite spells, and some of those spells are the ones that my clients have been interested in, such as protection, money drawing type work. So been doing that. Also working on candles, though I have not mastered the art of making my own figural candles yet. So I tip my hand to you two for that. That's got to be pretty – I know how to do it. I've just never done it. That'd be interesting with the molds and putting them together and – wow.
There's definitely a finesse to this, and I have to say hats off to Reverend James for his adept – skills at getting these candles to really they come out beautifully, and hopefully eventually I'll be up to that par. But you know, it's definitely a labor of love. But like you said, yeah.
How long
tonight,
did you think about?
Oh goodness, with what we do, you know, one of the things that is really kind of fun about it, you know, is we having control over that process and really knowing where your ingredients and everything else are coming from. But, you know, really for a custom figural candle to be completed, you know, we could be looking at anywhere from, you know, an hour to sometimes several hours, really depending on the candle and how long it takes to cool and to cure, and then the cutting and getting all of that together. Not that we're sitting there like staring, watching wax dry, you know, cool. You set it and then you kind of go do something else. But, you know, it's kind of like watching paint dry. A lot of fun. But it really is, and it can be a very involved process. And this was the first chance that I've had to dive in to that, and I haven't developed a much greater respect for it. And like I said, you know, it really is a labor of love. A lot of work goes into these candles, but there's a lot of energy that it references, and a messy one. I miraculously did not make a mess. Surprisingly, I expected, well, at one point in time, I did almost dump a cup of hot wax all over the counter, which I'm sure would have elicited a very long string of very colorful language. But it can be a little messy, but cool. And, you know, I couldn't think of, you know, some better folks to join up with and do like a discussion on our favorite spells. You know, Reverend James is so adept at creating some truly inspiring setups when it comes to spell work. Some of the things that he has done for our clients, I sit back and I'm like, wow, that is so, so amazing. And I know you, JD, I've watched you now at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and, you know, we've talked quite a bit over the years, and you got some mad skills going on up there in the soon to be very frozen north. Hopefully you're ready for winter, from what I understand.
Yeah, the weather's been all over up here. Like, literally, it was like 75 degrees one day last week, and then it was down to 30 another. It's so crazy.
Yeah, the chill.
It's similar.
Now, the chill's starting to hit us down here in North Carolina. Tonight's our first below freezing night, and I think since March. But so, you know, battening down the hatches in the North Carolina mountains tonight, but. Excellent. So, you know, a lot of care really does go into crafting these spells that we all do for our clients. A lot of very unique aspects are brought in to kind of, you know, focus what it is that we do and really kind of drive home for that specific client their very unique situation. And from that, I know amongst the three of us, we've, you know, there's definitely been a very, you know, strong kind of tie kind of put together in working together to bring about these changes and these improvements in people's lives. You know, let me just ask a couple questions here in this early segment of the show for both Reverend James and for JD. What are some of your favorite things about crafting spells?
What's some of my most, I like the ability to be creative. I like to do things with my hands. I like to make things. For those people that have hung around me for any amount of time, you will often hear me say, I want to make something. So I just have to do something. I have to create something. So that's one thing that I really enjoy about it, because it helps. It's kind of like a bringing it out of my imagination into the manifesting it into a physical form and then putting it back out as energy. So it kind of makes this transformation, I guess. But I think that's my most favorite part about it.
Yeah, I'd agree in part with the creativity aspect of it. I enjoy. I also like having to take, a client's need and looking at, the natural resources that we work with and how you can combine them together to reach their very specific need. A lot of times, especially when we're doing work for clients, is we gear that towards them after a reading so that the work is very specific. And so I really enjoy that part of it, like that differentiating of it.
The two of you are very, very much extol the whole of the craft, for lack of another way to put it, and really deploy some outstanding work. So I'm excited for our sharing tonight of some of our favorite spells. I know we're going to cover, we have some on money, we have some on love and protection and reconciliation, and on the flip side, we have some on banishing and getting people the F out of your life. there's two sides to every coin. Bringing together in this Halloween season, some really kind of, well put together and very effective spell work. And a lot of people struggle, especially as they're learning to really develop these skills, and understand the tools and how to put all of these things together. So hopefully by the end of tonight, everybody will have a little bit more insight into the development and deployment of their magical workings. And, I'm really excited to get into this. So I think maybe before we jump into the meat of the show for tonight, why don't we take a quick pause and we'll have our station announcements. How's that sound, Reverend James?
He's ready.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays, 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voice, Tuesdays, 4 to 5. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. And back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. And not sure if y'all were keeping score, but if you didn't notice, there are now 6 weekly episodic, magically infused shows on the air through the LMC Radio Network. you know, we kick off the week with the Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Miss Cat and Conjure Man. Always a wonderful show. Never know what's going to happen. Great guests. Monday nights, Reverend James and I holding down the fort. Tuesdays, Deborah Voith and Miss Elvira bringing back The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. And then we have our syndicated shows with the Crystal Silence League, the Now You Know show, and the original pair of Miss Elvira and Miss... excuse me. I totally just
Phoenix
lost
LaFay.
My train of thought. Miss Phoenix LaFay on the original Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. Definitely check them all out. The Now You Know show, that just came back in syndication. So a lot of fantastic information there. I still remember several years ago, Reverend James and I listening to the Now You Know show, and really a fantastic show. So if you've missed it,
I always love the Lucky Number song.
You know, it's hard to describe the Now You Know show in any simple way. Like, it's definitely something, there's something for everyone, and it's just a good time. So if you haven't checked it out, folks, definitely get in there. All right. So jumping in, and before we do jump in too far, I did want to mention, got a couple notices from Blog Talk Radio that there are some technical difficulties tonight. So if for whatever reason any of us cuts out or disappears, we will be back. But let us know if anybody's having trouble hearing in the chat. Okay, so kicking off our discussion on our favorite spells for tonight, you know, one thing that I know we've talked about in passing in several different shows previous, spell work is an intricate process. A lot of thought goes into it. A lot of energy goes into it. And for those practitioners that, you know, are working with clients or even just working on their own, you know, there really is a lot to it. And one of the biggest things that I wanted to kind of kick off this discussion with is when starting spell work, or you find yourself in a situation where you feel, you know, some form of spell work is either needed or wanted, required, whatever word you want to throw in there, I can't stress enough, and JD and Reverend James jump in at any point, but I can't stress enough the need to make sure you're coming at it from the right headspace. And start, you know, if nothing else, start with a reading. If you read for yourself, great. If you're too close to the situation or feel you're too close to the situation, reach out to a practicing reader. There's many of us at AIR that are available for readings. What do you two feel on this subject?
I would 100% agree. That's one of the most important reasons why we get readings first, is in order to give us clarity about the background, you know, what's going on, what the outcome will be, the likeliness of that outcome. You know, especially if you're helping craft root work for a client, you know, you can use multiple divination methods and, you know, as you create a plan, ask how that outcome would be and see it in the cards, and then, you know, you'd know which path to take. It's important too, because a lot of times when we get clients, you know, they'll tell you what the situation is from their perspective, but once you do the reading, you will also find out these other parts that they didn't make you privy to at the initial talk. And those play a crucial role often. So to me, I always tell people, like, be as honest and dirty honest as you have to be. If you want your man back, but you keyed his car, you got to be honest with me, right? Because that's something we're going to have to work through. if this is your goal. And with that, I also then, and I think you said this, but clarity, understanding what you want and why, and what does that look like? The more you can tangibly explain something, really helps with the work, you know, not being necessarily using fluffy language, but being very precise.
Extending upon that a little bit, I would also say, speaking about headspace, that and speaking about clarity, that it's very important to not rush right whenever you think you need work, because I guarantee you a good handful of root workers will not take emergency clients. Some do, and if they do, they usually charge an upcharge. But it's very important to know, like JD said, exactly what you want, where you're going, and having that understanding. It's very important.
You know, it's very easy to have that sort of like knee-jerk reaction when you're in the heat of a situation, or when you're, you know, confronted with some unknown new struggle, or for that matter, the reemergence of an old struggle that you thought might have been long gone. You know, in any and all of these situations, so easy for that knee-jerk reaction to say, you know, I'm going to throw at this person, or I'm going to throw at that person, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And, you know, it really, taking the time to get in that headspace, to use Reverend James' term, and really dig in and understand the undercurrents of the situation will make all the difference in how well any upcoming or potential root work will be done, how good the outcome will be. Will you meet your goals? You know, when you approach a reader, any reputable reader, you know, it should be a judgment-free zone. You know, be sure to share as much as you possibly can in those instances. It goes a long way and can honestly, it can reduce a lot of unnecessary time, unnecessary utilization of resources, unnecessary monies being spent on things that just might not work out, no matter how much we want them to. And that I think is one of the keys too, that no matter how much we want something, it's not always going to work out. Would you guys agree?
Absolutely. And I mean, depending on how you look at the universe, you know, that could be said as, you know, that's God's will, or that was preordained, predestined. You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but yeah, sometimes, you know, even from a Buddhist perspective, maybe you don't have the karma to have that. There's lots of different ways to look at it. So, I mean, maybe if you put enough into it and you actually do the work, it's possible, but it might be very, very difficult. So I'm not going to say that it's impossible to have the thing that you want, absolutely, but it would definitely be much, much more difficult.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's an old saying that, you know, we watch the work for signs, and the signs tell us ahead of time how things are going. So if I'm doing love work and I pick up a book and the main character has the same character as the person I want to love me, and it's talking about breakups, that's a bad sign, right? So adapting your work to the and being conscious of the universal signs that are given to you when you're doing work. And, you know, in Hoodoo, we always say ultimately God is the ultimate decider, and he can say no, and that happens. And anyone who promises you, 100% they will bring your love back in 3 days, they're a liar. I mean, those are scams, and you know, just be aware of that there's always a risk, you know, with work.
Very, very true.
And that goes for readings too, I would have to say. You know, just because you got a reading and the reader told you that, you know, this is the way things are going, and this is what you can look forward to, that if you make changes, if you make different decisions than the decisions that you planned to make when you came in for that reading, then that changes the future. We all have our own free will. We can make changes. We have choices. And, you know, in a way, it's also, you know, we say a lot that it's not necessarily preordained. We have choices. We have ways to go in the direction that we want or that maybe we don't want, but we're compelled to go in. So I think it's important to keep that in mind too whenever you get a reading. A lot of people come back and say, you know, well, it didn't work out this way. Well, what changed? What choice did you make that was different than what you planned?
Absolutely. Yeah. You see that a lot in reconciliation work too. Someone's like, I want this person back. You're like, awesome. You do the work. And then they're like, well, he called me, but I ignored his call. Okay, well, now you're working against your work, you know. Well, and there's always some weird reasoning like, well, I just wanted him to feel how I feel. Okay, but now he thinks you dissed him. And like James has just said, well, now you've changed something, you know, you've changed the plan. So I see that much more often in love work than I do in other work where people kind of have this almost self-saboteur type behavior. Yeah.
True. Very true. I just can't help but kind of giggle about that because, you know, it's so common to, especially with love and reconciliation work predominantly, you know, to have those moments of weirdness where, you know, within the heat of the moment, something changes and just everything at that point, you know, the reading, the working, it's just all foobarred and everything's all over the map. And then your client comes back and says, why didn't this work? You kind of sit there and think, you know, it's like that insurance commercial. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. And then you beat your head on the wall or desk or any other close, hard surface and dive back in for round two. So ironically funny, but very true. And, you know, that kind of goes along with, again, with it, with spell work too, is, you know, when you have a formulation, when you have a plan, when you have these goals in mind, you've done your reading, you understand those undercurrents, those underpinnings, and you know which way you want this to go. Follow through. Follow through with the plan. The universe is full of infinite possibilities, but do your best to mitigate those changes and try not to diverge from the original plan that you've worked out. You know, wanted to toss in a little bit of a discussion briefly too, before we get into spell work, the actual spells for tonight. I want to talk a little bit about safety, as there really are a lot of safety concerns to be had in doing works, whether you're doing works, you know, for yourself or for others. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour recently did a fun show on when spell work goes up in flames. And, you know, we've experienced this ourselves here at Folk Conjure. I'm always the lucky one to find it. And it can be a pretty intense moment, but making sure that you are working from a safe perspective. You know, you're not burning candles near a window that is open with curtains blowing in the wind and, you know, leaving your working sitting somewhere where, you know, depending on the ingredients used, some of the herbs are toxic. Some of the other ingredients can be toxic to small children and animals. Make sure that your work is contained someplace where, if this is your part of your situation, make sure that the safety aspect is taken care of, especially as well with, you know, the use of essential oils. What are your guys' thoughts on safety in spell work?
Making sure, like you said, that you know what you're working with and you know the, like, for example, if you're working with ammonia, realizing that that's a very powerful chemical and mixed with the wrong item, it can be deadly. Keeping that in mind about herbs and roots, that if you decide to drink a tea, that to make sure that they are actually, you don't have an allergen to them or that they're safe for human consumption. Candles, definitely. Making sure you burn them safely. And if you're not able to burn them safely, you can always burn them in sections while you're paying attention and have like a votive candle or a seven-day candle lit for you, such as like with you and James or with Lucky Mojo at the spiritual church, so that you can still work on it at home but also have that candle burning for you. So there's a lot of ways to practice these days and be safe. Making sure the material you're using, having simple things like having a fire extinguisher close to where you burn the candles, things like that.
Yeah, I'm still working on that one. We throw baking soda. But that's very good points, very good points. And I know, Reverend James, you have your background in aromatherapy. Essential oils are no joke.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people sometimes don't realize that just because the herb does this thing, that they assume the essential oil does the same thing. There are lots of things that don't get carried over in steam distillation because they're too heavy. So, and some things are created through chemical processes of heat. So chemicals change from one thing to another. So even while the essential oil or whatnot may smell like the herb that you're used to, it doesn't have anywhere near the same compounds as the actual plant. And especially the concentration, of course. I mean, if you look at rose oil, it's very, very expensive. It takes truckloads of it to make, you know, a couple ounces of oil. I want to say that one of the biggest things that I see a lot of people doing is using essential oils as a condition oil. So they see like sandalwood and they see it's good for, you know, psychic development maybe. And they want to put it on their, you know, blue candle for spirit communication or something. They'll just use the essential oil. One, that's a little wasteful. Again, especially with sandalwood because it's an endangered species. So, we don't want to use it frivolously or we won't have it. and it's just, you know, it doesn't take much to dilute it. And then you can make that essential oil last so much longer. And depending on who you talk to and depending on when they learned about aromatherapy and essential oils, they'll say that, you know, even just diluting it some is better than none. And I'm part of that agreement there, that if you're going to dilute it and, or if you're going to use it, even if you dilute it half and half, that's better than nothing. But I rarely would ever say for a person to use an essential oil, directly, neat as it's called, because it can cause, sensitization. So sensitization is once you become sensitized to a particular chemical in an essential oil. So for instance, let's say that you put cinnamon on your skin and you're using cinnamon bark, which is very, very caustic, and you put it on your skin and it burns, and all of a sudden the next thing you know, you have this rash that's happening and it itches. So you've already become sensitized to it at that point. And then if you go to eat cinnamon candy, guess what's going to happen in your mouth? Mucous membranes, they're going to be a lot more sensitive than your skin. And you're going to have rash and breakouts in your mouth anytime you eat something with cinnamon in it. So you have to be very careful with using essential oils. There's also things like phototoxicity. Lemon oil and bergamot are the two, some of the biggest ones to worry about. And phototoxicity is, it makes your cells more susceptible to the sun's rays. So you're more apt to get skin cancer or severe sunburns when you use products with these essential oils in them. And then, you know, go out on the beach or go out and lay in the sun. It's very dangerous. Again, that can also help sensitize you to that oil. Then you'll never be able to use it again. Even if you dilute it, I have to stress that as well. Just because you were sensitized to it at a strong dose or dilution, just because you're going to dilute it even more, it doesn't make a difference. Once you're sensitized to that chemical, it acts as an allergy. You will always be sensitized to it no matter how much is in it. Think people with an allergy to peanuts. It's not necessarily anaphylactic shock, but that has happened and has been documented. And then there's neurotoxic oils that are very widely available, like pennyroyal. It can be a very good oil to use for different, you know, purposes, especially diffusing and maybe putting on balms and things like that. But if you're the kind of person that takes essential oils internally, which is a heated subject, it can actually cause issues with your brain. So just be careful with them. And if you are using essential oils internally, please don't use it with just water. You need to dilute it. Water doesn't dilute it. Witch hazel does not dilute it. The only thing that will dilute it is alcohol or oil. And when I mean alcohol, I mean UPC alcohol, you know, like, it's like 95% plus alcohol. So not just vodka. That's not going to work either. I don't care who tells you that. You put, as a way to know this, take blue tanacy, which is an oil that has blue in it from the chemazulene, which is a chemical that is converted during the steam distillation process from the heat, and its original chemical is azulene. So that's just an example of what I was talking about earlier. But it's a very deep blue oil. So if you take a drop of that and put it in vodka or put it in anything that somebody says that you're going to be able to dilute it with, it that's not really, really strong alcohol or oil, and give it a shake and then let it sit for a little bit, I guarantee you it will separate. So don't trust a lot of the recipes you see online. Be very careful. And, you know, they can be very powerful and very great to use, and they can elicit very powerful responses, especially emotionally. We have a lot of connection to our memories and our emotions with scent. So, yeah.
Thank you, Reverend James. I get so nervous sometimes when I see some of the stuff about essential oils and such posted online. It really, you kind of weigh those moments against, do I dive in and try to change this narrative and risk the potential uproar, or do I carry on? A lot of good information you just shared.
I do want to mention one other thing. There is that I kind of went off on a different way whenever I was talking about this. I was saying that if you do take essential oils internally, and I went off on make sure that you use proper dilution things. I want to also stress, do not use plastic. So if you have a plastic water bottle, don't put your lemon oil in your plastic water bottle. Miss Kat talked about this on a recent show where someone was helping make their special dice oil, and it has a citrus component, which citrus is a very strong eater of plastic, basically. And they were the person that was making them was putting in just a little too much of that. And when they put the dice in, the dice were melting. That same thing will happen when you drink it. And you will get little bits of plastic in your system and things like that. So especially if you're one of those people that are like, no to BPAs and stuff like that, you definitely don't want to be mixing your essential oils in your plastic.
It's really kind of scary when you think about it. But, you know, this is an important discussion to have, especially when you're talking about spell work. And we want to make sure, you know, Reverend James, myself, JD, you know, we want to make sure that everyone has the right tools, the right knowledge, and, you know, that foundation to work from when creating their own spells, when using spells that they, or reading through spells that others have whether it's posted online, posted in books, et cetera, to, you know, really, really to do it safely. You know, don't be the one that, you know, is constantly blowing things up and so on and so forth. But excellent, excellent points that you both shared with everyone on safety, especially the essential oils. Like, I'll be thinking about that the rest of the night. But without further ado, I think we should jump into our favorite spells. And with that, why don't we have our guest, JD, kick us off and share one of his favorite spells.
Sure. One of mine that I've been looking at, and I thought going with the topic was, I get a lot of requests for protection work from clients. And one of the things first, and to me it's important, is that before you go on the path of doing the protection work, you have to actually cleanse, or at least my opinion, you have to do a cleansing. So in that, I suggest like the 13 herb bath, reciting Psalms 37 over it, and then using Chinese wash to clean your entire home. And why is that important? Because a lot of people just want to jump to the fun part, because cleaning isn't always that fun. But if you didn't clean out the mess, and it's still there, even though you put some protection on. You need to cleanse it out and then follow with protection. So this one I like is for creating a reverse mirror box. We see mirror boxes where the mirrors are reflecting inward, and you would put in there like hot peppers and sharp objects and an effigy that represents that person. And this one, we're actually going to do the opposite, where the mirrors are facing outward. And you clean the mirrors with holy water. And then inside of this, you take the six mirrors and you glue them on the sides and to the base, and stick inside of it basil, angelic root chips, yellow mustard seed, you can add mint, and then two pictures of the person or a doll baby of the person with their personal concern inside of it. You put them in there after you've prayed Psalms 91 over it and seal the top of the box. And then on the outside, wipe the glass with reversing oil. And then you can put that away for your work. So what it's going to do is anything that's being sent to you is reflected backward outward. So it's locking you inside of like a safety mirror box. And a similar version, but slightly simplified and smaller, would be taking two round mirrors and two pictures of the person that you want to protect back to back, so the pictures are facing outward, and a piece of their hair, and stick them inside the mirrors where the mirrors are facing outward and glue it shut, and then wipe that with reversing and then put it in a white handkerchief and tie it with three knots. So then you can actually carry that one on you and it would serve as like a protective charm as well. Those are two of my favorite go-tos for people who need ongoing protection work.
Very cool. Very cool. And I know a lot of people don't really think about, you know, when they think about mirror boxes, it's always, you know, I always imagine, what was his name? The one cartoon character, Muttley, always going and rubbing his hands together that I'm going to get somebody with this mirror box because, you know, it's typically done to fuck somebody up. But to have that reversed mirror box, sending everything back out into the universe, kind of like, you know, a ninja, that's great. Thank you, JD. And, you know, I think I'm going to jump in with one of mine. You know, if you've been a fan of the show and you've been listening for a while, everybody'll know, and, well, from the Hoodoo Heritage Festival from this year, I'm a very big fan of moving candle spells. And I have one that I have done quite successfully for several of clients, myself included. So with this one, it's a money drawing sort of prosperity moving spell. And the reason I say it's a moving spell and not a moving candle spell is the candle isn't what moves. So in what you're going to need is typically three green candles, whether you have chimes or tapers, votives, whatever you have on hand works perfectly fine. You're going to want to use one green vigil candle, and you're going to want to have some money drawing oil, some crown of success oil, prosperity oil, any of those, or any of those types of oils, conditioned oils. You can also use holy oil if you don't have access to any of the standard conditioned oils. And along with this, you'll need some five finger grass, allspice or cinnamon, or both if you're feeling spicy, some alkanet or patchouli, a small magnet, some lodestone grit, small piece of pyrite, and a paper to write your petition. And I prefer to use green ink if you don't have a green pen, green marker, or, well, green crayon, I guess. Use what you got. And with this, you take the setup and you will take the three chime candles and dress them in the herbs. So you'll mix the five finger grass, spice, alkanet, patchouli, cinnamon all together. You'll dress these candles in the herbs first, as well as the oil, the conditioned oil that you're using, or holy oil. And you will dress the candles moving in a motion towards you as you're drawing in. You're drawing in that money. You're drawing in that prosperity. Roll your candles in the herbs and you'll set them aside. With your vigil candle, same thing. You will take a pin or something and, you know, knock a few holes in the top of the candle, put in a few drops of your conditioned oil and a light sprinkling of the herbs themselves. And, you know, make sure to keep it a little bit away from the wick. You know, here we go with a little bit of the safety aspect of it, because you don't want the herbs to go up in flames, but to kind of combine with the wax as it melts. So on your working surface, and one thing that Reverend James and I use, we have these tins that are circular. You'll take your vigil candle and put it right in the center, and that is signifying you. You will take your green chime candles, and you will arrange them in a triangle around that center candle. Now, taking the magnet, you'll put the magnet at the bottom edge of whatever your working surface is right in front of you, and place the piece of pyrite on top of that magnet. Next, you're going to take that lodestone grit, and you're going to make a path from the magnet all the way up to that vigil candle. And you'll have written out your petition, you know, bring me money, bring me prosperity, you know, bring me a new job, you know, what have you. Dress that petition with the oil, put that under the vigil candle. You'll light the vigil candle, you'll light your three candles, and over the course of that vigil candle burning, you're going to take that little piece of pyrite and that magnet, and you're going to edge it ever so slightly towards the vigil candle. As it's going, it's picking up that lodestone grit and drawing it all to it. So you're going to end up with a pretty fuzzy magnet by the time you get done. As you work this towards it, you're constantly... Now, one of the things that I use is, it's Psalm 112:3. It says, wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. If using a psalm is not your thing, feel free to use whatever kind of a prayer, whatever kind of a mantra that works for you in your belief system. And every day, you will edge that magnet closer and closer and closer until you get to that candle, that center candle, and, you know, let the vigil continue to burn out. Now, once this working is done, you've put the time into it, you've put the energy into it, you're going to take these little doodads and you're going to make a mojo bag from them to continue this work. You know, I typically use a green felt with a gold thread. I hand sew my mojo bags together. But, you know, you take your lodestone grit-covered magnet, your piece of pyrite, you take some of the herbs that you used in the spell, put this all into that mojo bag, add your petition to it, douse it with, you know, give it a few drops of your oil, and then breathe into it your intentions and your psalms or prayers, whichever it is that you're using. Tie it up. Carry that with you. Try to keep it in the pocket that you normally carry your wallet or pocketbook in. If you're a woman and you carry a purse, you know, maybe you can tuck it into the same little part of your purse where you keep your wallet. Guys, you know, put it in whatever pockets you usually carry your money in, and, you know, continue that to work for you. Typically, like I said, have seen this deployed with much, much success. So that is one of my favorite spells for drawing money and keeping that money coming in. So
that was great.
And I see Reverend James has transcribed it all. So thank you, Reverend James. Fingers of Fury.
How would you adapt that to, like, modern day where people seem to be using mostly digital currency and they're moving away from paper currencies?
You know, it predominantly, even if you're carrying just strictly cards, like, to be honest with you, the only quote unquote money that is in my wallet is a gold $100 bill. along with some other charms and doodads. That is for another time. But, you know, the wallet signifies the source that has your money, that carries your cards, that carries your cash. And kind of keeping those together, whether it's plastic currency or paper currency, you'll generally get the same effect. Did I answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. When sat here for a second and thought, did I just take this in a completely different direction? Great. So, Reverend James, what do you have to share with us?
Yeah, so both of you guys did some really good spells, but I'm going to kind of take it and make it really simple for everybody. This one's going to be short and sweet. and if you've heard me on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour talking about Asian styles of magic, you may be familiar with this. But one of the things that I think is very fascinating, and it's very, I don't know, it kind of hits my heartstrings and my emotions whenever I do this work for some reason. I'm not sure why, but, you know, maybe it'll do the same for you, is to get a piece of rice paper, and you may be able to go to, like, the Dollar Tree or something like that where they have little wooden cutouts of people that you can trace. I think you might be able to get paper ones there or wooden ones, or they might be at Walmart. I'm not sure. You can look them up on Amazon or a cookie cutter even of a little person. And you'll cut it out of rice paper, and then you'll write the things that you want to remove. It could be people. It could be emotions. It could be habits. It could be anything. And what you're going to do is you're going to write that on the rice paper. And then you're going to take it to a body of water, preferably a moving body of water, so a river, a creek, a stream, something like that, that's flowing away from your house or flowing away from wherever you're doing business or what have you, whatever you're working this spell for. And you just simply drop the rice paper in, and you can watch it as it starts to go down the river, that before it even gets out of your sight, it will have dissolved. And it just, I don't know, for me, that's just something that just really hits home for me for some reason, because I can see it dissolve, and I can see, you know, I can then imagine that it's all mixing with that water and then continuing out and becoming little bitty tiny pieces all over the world. So it's really helpful for me, at least. And I hope it's helpful for you.
There's an eloquence to that.
Yeah, it comes from Japanese culture. So you will often find this at Shinto temples. They will have a dragon stream or something, usually either going into the dragon's mouth or coming out of the dragon's mouth. There'll be water. And it goes into this cute little kind of like a Zen garden kind of river kind of deal. And they'll have little slips of these rice paper that you can write what you want to remove, what you want to get rid of. And then you drop it in there. And then it's said that the dragon helps push that away or eats it, depending on whether it's going in or out.
You know, although I've been familiar with that spell, every time it comes back around, I'm just still in awe. And I remember actively doing this myself, and just the cathartic release of the action in and of itself was just absolutely amazing. And it works. It works oh so well. And, you know, in hoodoo, in root work, we talk about, you know, getting rid of things and throwing them into a body of water. So, and a running water to carry it away. It tells you something that's, you find this universally, this, I don't want to say habit, this practice of using the running water, but so awesome. So awesome. All right. Thank you for that, Reverend James. And JD, are you back up and ready?
Yep, I'm still here. I'm still going on the protection route today. So this one is making a protection mojo to carry on you for whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional protection that you need. So we're going to take a red flannel bag. We're going to take devil's shoestring to trip up and stumble our enemies, and we're going to dress that with Run Devil Run oil, set it aside. An angelic root, a whole one, dressed with fiery walls protection oil. Agrimony, which is great for removing curses. Grains of paradise, kind of a protective power, hot protective power. Basil, which prevents evil, and a card of St. Michael. And on a Tuesday, you're going to add the items to the bags as you pray and petition the spirit and asking for their help. You're going to take a piece of your hair and wrap it around the angelic root, and then take the St. Michael prayer card and wrap it around the root, and then tie it like how you would tie a gift box with red string, and tie it with three knots. Pray to St. Michael to protect you, and you'll stick that into the bag, and you will pray over it Psalms 91 and the prayer of St. Michael daily for protection. And that's something you can keep on your body, you can keep in your car, you can keep in your purse, or wherever it is that you need that type of protection work on. And sometimes when I pick those ones off, if you to add like a nice little feature, I'll take like the St. Michael prayer medal that you can buy, usually you can buy those for like a dollar, and sew that to the outside of the mojo.
Very cool. It's almost like a spell within a spell within a spell. Because you have your packet that goes inside the mojo. You have your amulet. This is just saying, the artistry and the crafting that goes into putting these together. That's phenomenal, JD.
Thank you. It's one of my favorites. And today...
a lot of these spells that we are sharing, for those listening and for those following along in the chat, JD and Reverend James are both transcribing the ingredients and how-tos into the chat for everybody today. So definitely, if you're getting a writer's cramp, don't worry, there is backup. So one of the things I kind of want to switch a little gear on myself here is I do a lot of money work, business drawing, prosperity, things of that nature for clients. But one of the aspects I do enjoy some working on as well is reconciliation work. And, one thing taking this into consideration is, reconciliation work really is kind of a tandem work in a lot of cases for me, where there's actions that I am doing, I am taking, that means I'm working a moving candle spell or, working something at one of the altars or shrines that we have for folk conjure and folk faith ministries in connection with the client is also doing. But I enjoy this little kind of a ditty that I threw together several years ago that has honestly worked very well in, I say, just about all cases. The only time it hasn't worked was an individual who wanted to bring somebody back into their life, however, was making no efforts whatsoever to actually have any kind of a connection and hadn't talked to the other person in any way, shape, or form for over a year and a half. So there was a very wide chasm on what needed to be done to kind of bridge that gap, and just not willing. They weren't willing to do that extra legwork. But this one has been used for healing rifts from arguments or, you know, other kinds of disagreements, healing friendships, healing relationships, and it's actually fairly simple to do. With it, you'll need some form of a doll baby. And by that, you know, Reverend James makes these phenomenal yarn doll babies that work exceptionally well. But whatever you can utilize in the form of a doll baby for the target of the spell would work. You know, something you've created is better than something, in my estimation, that is bought, primarily because you've put that extra energy, that extra heart and soul into this. So what you're going to do is you're going to create a doll baby of the individual whom is the target of your reconciliation. And with this, if you happen to have access to some sort of a personal concern that is of a benefit, you can utilize that. If you don't, you know, you can create a personal concern, you know, making a name paper and burning it and using the ash to combine. But you want to incorporate this, these personal concerns into the doll baby itself. Especially I do enjoy the yarn doll babies. And one of the things that I do like about them is you can take a little bit of wax and heat it up, get it pliable, and combine the personal concerns into that and tuck it neatly inside the head, the doll baby. And, you know, you'll dress the doll baby with, you know, clarity oil or, you know, some sort of peace-loving reconciliation type oil. You know, you can even use, yes, you can amp it up a little bit and use it for more lusty love sort of work, using like come to me, et cetera, et cetera. And so you'll dress the doll baby with the oil, and next you'll want to cleanse, and much like what JD said, you know, you want to cleanse away the ick and the gunk and the psychic bullshit energy that kind of caused the situation to happen in the first place. So you want to do like a spiritual bath on yourself. It's not as easy all the time to do a spiritual bath on a doll baby, depending on what it's made out of. Even if you've used, you know, paper and drawn a figure, or maybe you're using a picture, something of that nature. Not going to want to get that wet. But you can use incense to smoke and cleanse, you know, sage it, or you can use dragon's blood or anything that's purifying and cleansing to smoke the doll baby and remove all that negativity out of your way. And after you've cleansed and worked all of that good stuff, next comes what I call the real work. And this can be kind of intense for some people. You know, if, for instance, the rift was caused by some sort of a disagreement, use the doll baby. You know, maybe you were in the wrong. Maybe some action you took just kind of sent the other away. Talk to the doll baby. Apologize. Verbalize these intentions. You know, speak lovingly to the doll baby. Speak warmly. You know, recall good memories that you've had. And you're going to continue this practice along while you watch for signs in the larger work picture. You know, ask the doll baby, you know, if you can forgive me, please call me. Ask the, you know, if you still think of me, you know, send me a sign. And actively make this effigy a player in your life. And one thing, when I do these works, typically this is something that my client is utilizing while I'm on the other side doing some sort of candle work, moving candle spell, etc. What excuse me, one of the things that I always do caution, though, with doing this kind of reconciliation work, and it's a very simple spell, but be realistic with yourself and set a time frame. It's something that we hadn't really touched on when it came to spell work today, but you know, set that time frame. You know, there, a lot of people go by the 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months rule, or not rule, I shouldn't say rule, guideline. You know, if you know your situation, you know what shit caused what happened. And if it was, you know, if it was some sort of really large sort of argument, sure, it might take a couple extra months. You know, maybe set yourself a 6-month goal. And all the while, make yourself available. Kind of like JD's example, when, you know, doing a working for a client who wanted somebody to call her, and then they call and she just ghosted the call. You know, make yourself available for that reconnection. Don't shy away from what you're asking for. That's a huge aspect of it. And if you've done your reading, you've done the reconciliation work, and it's still not coming to pass, be realistic and be true to yourself. Don't really learn to when to say, okay, this is just not meant to be. However, like I said, Just got to give it some, give it your love, give it your time, give it your energy. And that's some reconciliation work for you. Reverend James, do you have anything more for us? Oh, we're down to 7 minutes.
I was just about to say, we're getting really close on the time, so I'll do another really short Asian little working. This comes from Fa Chi Men, which is spiritual Chi Men divination. I know that's kind of weird sounding because you think that divination is kind of spiritual. But it also comes from Taoist tradition as well. So what you do is you do Chi Men divination to find where the chief spirit is and which direction. You can learn how to do that yourself. You can come to me and get a reading, a quick little, you know, one question kind of deal, and you can figure out where that's at. And what you do is it's called star stepping. So in Taoist tradition and a lot of Asian divination focuses on the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper. And they're both kind of shaped very similarly. It looks like a little spoon or a ladle. So what you do is you take something to mark positions that you're going to step in. I like to use like those little paper coasters or something like that. Anything that's, you know, thin and flat that you can kind of step on or step over. And you're going to put one right in front of you. Then about a foot to the left of that, you're going to put another one. About a foot and a half above the second one, you're going to put the third one. A foot to the right of the third one, you're going to put the fourth one. And then you're going to put three more going in the same direction of the fourth one to make the tail. So the ladle or the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper is going to be pointing down, downward. So you're not going to have the opening is going to be downward instead of upward. But the point or the tail of the ladle is going to be pointing towards the direction of the chief spirit for that day or that month or wherever you're working. And what you do is you think about what you want. You make a small prayer asking that it manifest, and then you take a step through this configuration. So you'll take a right, your right foot or your left foot, whichever is your dominant. You'll go forward with that foot and step on the first one, then bring your other foot to meet that one. Then you'll take a step to the left and bring your other foot to meet that one. Then you're going to take a step up and then bring your foot other foot to meet that one. Then a step to the right, and your other foot's going to meet that one, and so on and so forth. So then you'll be moving forward the last bit, but you do it with one foot, and then you bring the other foot in. It's not one foot, and then you kind of move another one. You know, it's one foot, then together, then one foot together. And once you get to the other end, you just say a simple prayer of thanks, and this is just a simple way to utilize that energy of that spirit to manifest things that you want. So the other one I was talking about getting rid of things, this one's talking about bringing things in, and they're both very simple.
Very cool.
Yes,
very
Nagashiva,
cool.
That's great. Put your hand up on your hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip.
Oh, my goodness. I was trying so hard not to laugh, but that was good. Excellent, excellent. Well, we have roughly about 3 minutes. Does anybody have any last minute, real quick sort of add-ins that they want to throw in at the 11th hour?
The only thing is that I just noticed that Shiva was talking about the time warp, and I don't know why I didn't get that. I just focused on the hips.
Considering the Rocky Horror Picture Show is one of your all-time favorite movies and shows, I have to say I am absolutely shocked but not going to lie, my head, my mind went to the dip as well.
Yeah, see?
That and the cha-cha slide. I don't know. All kinds of weird sort of pop music going on in my head. How about you, JD? Any last-minute thoughts or tips and tricks on spell work?
I was thinking when you were talking about the reconciliation, sharing one of my also easy reconciliating spells that involves working with St. Anthony, where baby Jesus is able to be removed. And you take a glass of water, bread, and you take baby Jesus out of the statue, and you tell St. Anthony that when he returns your lost lover to you, you'll return the doll to him. And setting a reconciliation and return to me candle next to this is a great way of helping bring that person back. And the tradition is after St. Anthony returns your lover to you, or a person in your life that's missing, you donate the amount of bread to a church in the monetary way of that person's weight. So if the person they return to weighs 130, then you would donate $130 worth of money for bread.
Very cool. That is very cool. And very, very short and sweet. Like, just like you said, you can't go wrong with short and sweet sometimes. You know, a lot of times, and I think this is one of the spots where a lot of folks kind of goof themselves up in doing spell work, is you really have it in your mind that it has to be this huge, elaborate sort of spell that just captivates the world. And, you know, there's lightning and thunder and everything rumbling when it's going on. But sometimes just the slightest, smallest little hint is all it takes. That was a perfect way to end the show, JD. And with that, that's all the time we have for tonight, everybody. Really hope that you've enjoyed your time with us this evening and every evening. So until next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art. And thank you, JD, of VoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, for joining us this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll be joined by another fine guest. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com and at FolkConjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you again, JD, and thank you, Reverend James. You guys shared some phenomenal, phenomenal spells tonight. A lot of great information, everybody. Hope you learned something. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Till next week, come join us again, the same time, the same channel. Many blessings for a fantastic and wonderful week. Take care.